you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, as we continue working through the instruction manual here that God has given us concerning the way a church should establish themselves and how they should act and what is involved in a healthy church. That's our desire here at Calvary. We want to be a healthy church, and I think you know as well as I do, any group of people or organization, really so much of the health of that organization is really related to the leadership of it. And the Bible gives us some very clear instruction on leadership in the local church. And if you look in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 1, it says, "It is a trustworthy statement. We can trust this. If any man aspires to the office of an overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do." So as far as local church leadership, we understand in context of where we've come up to this point that men are called to lead God's assembly. And that process happens as God works in the heart of a man to give him a desire to lead God's people. It says, if any man aspires to the office, it is a fine work that he desires to do. Now, we understand that ultimately, as even the verse tells us here this morning, as we're focused on, that there is one chief shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep is Jesus Christ. And so this is his church. He is the authority. He is our leader. And underneath the chief shepherd, we have leaders called out from among God's people, and God works in their lives to give them a desire to lead. Now, we understand there's two offices, that of the pastor and that of a deacon. And we're walking through these things this year because it's a very important thing for us to consider as we look towards the end of the year, and I'll be talking a little bit about our constitution here in a few moments. But at the end of this year, we have a desire to just adjust some of the wording in our Constitution. And I want to give you that information up front so that you can listen very, very carefully as we go through God's Word. Because I hope that every single person here at Calvary wants the Word of God to dictate everything that we do. So much of church history really comes down to sometimes just mere tradition. Now, I'm not against tradition as long as it matches up to Scripture. And so I want us to make sure that we're understanding the Scripture carefully at every point. And as we move toward the end of the year, as Lord willing, as we finish 1 Timothy, we'll make some adjustments that I think will help us become even more healthy. So thankful for the Word of God and what He's done in our church over the decades, and we're so thankful for what He's doing in this season of time. God is working for His glory to save folks and then as well strengthen believers, and He's stirring up within us a love for one another. We're actually mutually encouraging one another, even the Sunday school topic this morning of one-on-one discipleship. And believers meeting together to pray and study God's Word together. That is happening on some level. We hope and pray as a pastoral team that will grow and more people will be involved in each other's lives to grow in this area of discipleship. But we want to be a healthy church in every aspect. And leadership is so important. So under the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, God has, at this point, established, we have three pastors here, Pastor Robert Graziano, Pastor Jerry Barron, and then I'm one as well. Now, I want to just say a couple things because you'll hear it in the Constitution, and I just want to address it. I've tried to, from the very first day that I started as a pastor here at Calvary, I started talking in terms like team, the pastoral team. I'm one of three right now. We have two guys who are in the pastoral assistant program that are training, and Lord willing, we'll be ordaining them in a couple years. Matt and Robert are doing a fine job in their preparation and studies in seminary, and then as well in their responsibilities here at the church, and it's been wonderful to see them grow even in the last year. But we form a team of leadership. And I really believe that a team approach is the best approach. Now, we'll walk through the scripture here, but we're going to just kind of talk about how many pastors a church should have. How many pastors should a church have? Now, I realize that this is a topic that good men disagree on. And really, this is not a matter of division, or at least it shouldn't be. But some would believe that there is a single pastor model that should be in the local church. And then other people would believe that there's a multiple pastor model. Now, I'm sticking to the word pastor because that's generally the culture here at Calvary. That's kind of the familiar culture. We use the word pastor. But we did talk about in the first message in this small series that there is actually six different titles. You could talk about elder or presbyter or bishop or overseer or shepherd. But I'm just kind of honing in on pastor, but we understand that there's multiple references in the scripture to this same office. But good men disagree on whether there should only be one or should there be more than one. Sometimes it's a matter of just practical understanding of the situation that you find yourself in. So when I went to Florida several years ago and started Keystone Bible Church, I was the only pastor at that time, and I served in that role for a few years until God established the church and we were able to add more to that number. But we added together and we formed a team. Sometimes as you think about works on the mission field and places around the world where you go to where the gospel has not been named, or it's very, very small, and it's hard to establish a church, let alone a church with multiple pastors. Sometimes it takes years and decades to develop leadership. Now, that should be the goal from day one, developing leaders. I think that's part of a healthy church. But sometimes practically, there may only be one pastor. And I think from a scriptural perspective, we need to understand, is one better than the other? Is one okay over another? Or is one wrong and one is right? When we look at the scripture in the New Testament, the term elder, it's used many times, almost 75 times actually in the New Testament. 20 of those references in the New Testament refer to local church leadership. And there's different churches mentioned in the Bible, the Jerusalem church, the church at Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, Ephesus. There's all kinds of specific areas where there were local churches established, and the term elder or elders is used in a number of passages over 20 times. So there are occasions where you see the New Testament using or referring to one particular leader in a church. But then as well, there are times in the New Testament, many times actually in the New Testament, where you hear the term elder, but it's used in the plural. And so we have situations where actually there's multiple pastors in one location. As far as single pastor, we have actually Timothy here. He is kind of zeroed out as being probably the leader in the church of Ephesus. But in Acts chapter 20, we understand there were more than one elder. There were other elders mentioned in Acts chapter 20 as far as the church of Ephesus. We have illustrations in like Revelation chapter 2 and 3 where there the letters are addressed to a messenger. It seems like there is one particular person who is given to be as the representative for the church. James in the book of Acts, there seems to be a place of priority placed on him. And so there are occasions where there does seem to be a situation where there's one pastor or there is one perhaps leader among other pastors. And so we would believe that here at Calvary, that there should be a leader. I think when you look at how God has designed life, whether it be in the home or the church or other situations, that things go well when there is an actual leader. But there's multiple illustrations in the scripture where you have the term elder and it's used in the plural sense, which refers to the fact that there are more than one pastor operating in the same context. And I want you to see from the Scriptures, because again, I want the Scriptures to dictate what we do here at Calvary. And I want us to be informed by the Scriptures, understand them, and then make decisions appropriately. So if you would turn in the book of Acts, we're going to do a quick survey, starting in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And I'm trusting that we will all use our phones or iPads, whatever you use, your Bibles that are in paper form. I want you to see from the Scripture what God explains here. Chapter 11 of the book of Acts and verse 30. Actually, let's look at verse 27 just to get the context. Now, at the same time, at this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world, and this took place in the reign of Claudius. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And they did, sending it in charge of Barnabas, Saul, and to the elders. Plural form, more than one. Acts chapter 14, please. Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. When they had appointed elders for them in every church. Again, we have the term referring to leadership, the office of a pastor. Same idea here, elder. There was more than one in every church. Look at chapter 15 and verse 2. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Again, we have the term elder used, but it's used in reference to the plural form. Chapter 15 and verse 4. When they had arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they had reported all that God had done with them. Again, we have a plural form of elders. In verse 6, the apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. Chapter 20 of Acts. Would you turn over just a few pages? Chapter 20 of Acts. In verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders, plural, of the church. 1 Timothy, back there if you would. 1 Timothy, we'll keep going as we go towards the back of the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 17. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. The book of Titus. Keep turning, if you would, to the book of Titus, past 2 Timothy, Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Appoint elders, plural, in every city. The book of James. Keep turning to the book of James, please. Chapter 5 and verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So again, we have the leadership described as a group, more than one in the plural form. One more passage as we kind of close this portion. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and partaker of also of the glory that is to be revealed. So there are many passages. We didn't have time to look at all of them, but hopefully the weight of Scripture, you can sense that from the biblical perspective, one option is that there should be more than one pastor or elder in the assembly. Now, I am not pitting one against the other. I think there's examples of both, and practically sometimes that's how it works out. But as far as Calvary is concerned, it's our position that we operate as a pastoral team, a group of elders a plurality of elders where we understand that we have been called by the Lord through our desire to serve His flock, His children, and the church has at the same time said, yes, these are the men, at least in this season of time, that we see the gifts given by God to be able to serve this assembly. And so we operate as a pastoral team. God has given me the privilege to lead that team, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to lead. But I want us to understand that it's healthy and good that there is more than one leader. I think the scripture's clear, just general wisdom. It's better together when a group of people work together, and specifically a group of men, to lead God's church. Listen to the book of Proverbs in verse 15 and 22. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6. By wise guidance, you can wage your war. In the abundance of counselors, there is victory. I think just in general in life, when you have more than one person looking at a particular situation, or in the case of a church, leading a particular group of people, that there is more wisdom with a group. And so it's helpful and healthy for pastors to work together as a team. Now, I mentioned our Constitution, and I noticed it really from the first few days I was here working at Calvary, that many times I was referred to as the pastor. And I appreciate your desire to honor me in that way. It is a great honor. I'm accountable to the Lord for it. But I just want to make sure that we understand that there is more than just one pastor here. We are a team, and God has put us together uniquely for this season of time, and we all have different gifts, and God hopefully is using us as a team to shepherd the church very well. But the Constitution is really written from the perspective of a single pastor, or at least the emphasis on a single pastor. I'll read a portion. It's under Article Chapter 3 and Verse 1. Or not verse 1, point 1, sorry. This is not the Bible, can I just tell you that? Some churches hold this is the Bible, that is the Bible, all right? This is just a document that man put together. So under pastor, singular, overseer, shepherd, the leadership of the church, all departments and ministries being subject thereto, resides in the scriptural office of the pastor, also called in Scripture bishop and elder, who is appointed by the Holy Spirit as an overseer of the flock. Other officers and other members of the church should consider their work as assistants and co-laborers with the pastor. Now, I realize that when this was written, there may have only been one pastor at the time. I don't remember the history exactly. And so sometimes that's what happens. And that's what happened when we started Keystone. It was written from a single pastor perspective because that's what we started with. But then as time went on, we actually changed and adjusted the wording to match what God was doing in the midst of the congregation. So it read more than just one pastor. It read more of with a plural perspective, that there was a plurality of pastors. And so I want to just mention that because as we look towards the end of the year, as we have our annual family meeting, I want us to just adjust some of these words to make sure that we understand the right perspective. And again, I'm thankful for the opportunity to lead, and we will stay committed to there being a lead pastor, but I want us just to make sure that we're biblically moving towards the idea of a plurality of pastors. Now, that being said, there's another question that comes to the table many times in the area of a church. Does a man have to be paid in order to be a pastor? Can you have men in the church who aren't getting their regular income from the church and still operate and fulfill a desire that perhaps God has put into their heart to lead God's people? I would say the answer to that is yes. There can be men in the congregation that God has, as we've been looking at 1 Timothy, given a desire to lead God's people, and at the same time, God has gifted them to serve God's people in pastoral duties or shepherding roles. But they can opt out of receiving compensation because perhaps God has placed other desires on their heart and given them other talents that they can do multiple things. Maybe not give as much time and effort to the particular areas of the flock that those who are full-time or part-time could do. But they certainly can operate and fulfill a God-given role in this church. And so as we think about these things, I want us to again understand from the Bible that you don't always have to be on staff at a church or receive compensation from a church in order to serve in the role of a pastor. Now, I'm really not necessarily talking specifically about the financial stuff. I don't know, you may have heard the story of the little boy named Johnny who came up to a pastor after a morning service and handed him a $5 bill. And the pastor said, "Johnny, you don't need to give me your money." And Johnny said, "Well, but pastor, my dad says you're the poorest pastor we've ever had here at church. And so this is a gift for you." I'm not necessarily talking about that aspect of it. I'm really trying to help us understand that I believe God has gifted men in this church to serve in pastoral leadership, even though they have other opportunities in life to use their gifts and talents for the Lord, and so they don't have to receive compensation. But many times in history, like in the history of Calvary, if you wanted to fulfill a role of a pastor, it had to be specifically if you were going to go on staff at a place like this, and specifically Calvary. But in the New Testament, we understand there are both perspectives. In 1 Timothy, I read the passage of chapter 5, that one who rules well, a pastor who rules well, should be considered worthy of double honor. So there should be a good compensation, especially those who work hard. And so there is that right to say, you could put it in that term, the privilege for someone to draw their compensation or income from the church. The scripture is very clear about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1, Paul says, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? My defense to those who have examined me is this: do we not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of our Lord and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat from the fruit of it, who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? Am I not speaking these things according to human judgment? Am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing.' God is not concerned about the oxen, is he?" So Paul makes a case here for the fact that men who are called to ministry can receive income and compensation for their work in the gospel. He used the illustration of soldiers. If you go off to war and you work in that manner, you should expect to get paid. Farmers should be able to eat of their harvest, and shepherds should be able to drink of their milk. Even animals are referred to here, that animals should be fed for the work that they do. So it is a right and privilege for a man to ask the congregation to take care of his financial needs. Verse 14 of that passage talks about someone getting their living from the actual gospel. Now, on the flip side, we have examples, and Paul himself even refers to it. He and Barnabas have the right to refrain, but they chose not to. Paul chose to get his compensation and the income that he needed from outside of the people of God at different places in his ministry. And so there does not have to be the exact situation where every pastor does it the same, and every pastor has to receive income from the church in order for them to receive that title and be able to serve the Lord in that way. Sometimes it's referred to from Paul's life as tent making, where that role is an option, where someone has a skill and a talent and they can make things, or they can work in the marketplace and be able to provide for their family and at the same time serve God's church. Elders may choose to support themselves, and that is perfectly fine from a biblical perspective. So, either way, we must think through this as far as Calvary Baptist Church. If God has gifted men within this assembly to shepherd God's people, and He has, and if God has given them by His Spirit a desire to serve God in this way, that strong desire, as 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, where it's this desire that makes one want to reach out for this opportunity. So if those two things are true, and I believe they are, then we should be able to think through it from a biblical perspective. Should we be allowing guys who this is the story of their life have opportunity here, even though they would choose to serve and use gifts throughout the week in a different way to be able to create income for their family? And I say the answer from a biblical perspective is yes. We should be allowing men who God is working in their hearts with a desire to move forward in this way, we should be providing an opportunity for men to serve on the pastoral team. They may not be full-time staff, they may not be part-time staff, but they are gifted and God has given them a desire, and they can help fulfill the leadership team here at Calvary Baptist Church. And so I understand that's not how things have traditionally been done, but that doesn't mean that it's not okay to move forward and move in this direction. And I hope that you would understand from the Bible that it's very clear that you could go one way or the other. But at Calvary, we believe that we could now open it up for men in our church who have prepared for ministry. We have guys in this church who have gone to Bible college. They have seminary degrees. Some have served in pastoral leadership in other places. And they're gifted, and they're eldering right now. You can watch their life, and you watch them. They're eldering, they're shepherding, they're taking care of people. It's already happening. So let's provide an opportunity for them to serve in a role where God can use them in that way. So I lay this out here before you from a biblical perspective, wanting you to pray for our church over the next several months. And I want you to pray specifically for a group of men that God perhaps is working. I gave the invitation almost 4 weeks ago when we went through chapter 3 and verse 1. And I invited the men of this church to pray about this opportunity, to pray to see if God was stirring up within them that strong desire to serve God's people in a pastoral fashion. I don't know if God has done the work in your heart. Maybe over the last 4 weeks you've actually been praying and God is stirring that up, and you have a desire to serve in a pastoral role here. Well, you need to communicate that to us. We would love to be a part of the process. As a pastoral team, we would love to be able to come alongside, and we're trying to identify men in the congregation who maybe God has His hand on them in this way. And you see examples of that in Scripture where other elders appointed other elders. And we're congregationally governed, and so we want the whole church to be part of this process. But we're excited about the opportunity for more men to use their gifts to serve God's people. God keeps adding to our number, and we're thankful for that. Simpsonville is a thriving place where people are moving, and we have visitors on a regular basis. And as we move forward in the future, we can minister to more people, and we can use that collective wisdom with the group to be able to make better decisions and have greater accountability. And I'm excited about what perhaps God is doing even in your heart as you're sitting here listening. And I don't even know who that would be. But perhaps He is working in your life to move you in this direction. And so we want to come alongside and understand your heart and try to really help you discern what God is doing and be a part of the training process. We want to provide training for leadership as we move forward. We believe that's a healthy model as we look towards the future of Calvary, that we're developing leaders from among and even those who maybe God would bring from outside to our midst. They would love to be a part of this process. So how many pastors does a church need? There's no specific number in the scripture. We have 3 right now, and God says that's enough. Hopefully He'll add a couple more, and maybe even, maybe it could be 10. We don't know. We want to be very careful that we do this according to the scripture, and we let the scripture dictate what all the choices we make and really ask the Lord to go before us. But I think this is an important step for us, that we understand from a biblical perspective that it is okay to have more than one pastor. It's okay to just have one. But as we are thankful for what God has provided and we look forward to the future, that perhaps He would provide even more. And so we want to pray about this. We want to pray and ask God to work. And I think we need to ask the question, who is God working in this matter? And I think as a congregation, we should watch each other. And there are those who just naturally shepherd people because of even things like this, a desire, an aspiration to serve God in this way. And so we need to be looking at the men of our church, and maybe encouragement along the lines would go a long way. If you came up to someone who you really believe that God has gifted them for ministry and they serve in that way as far as the general eldering and shepherding process, and it's just natural for them, maybe a word of encouragement to them would be very helpful, and maybe God would even use you in their life to even confirm the work that He's doing. I think that's very natural and very appropriate. But we want to make sure that we're always under the chief shepherd. Jesus is our leader, and we look to Him at every step. And a good shepherd smells like sheep. Jesus did. He was with the people. And so we want to, as a team, we want to be part of your life, and we want to live life with you. We want to help you through the process. So, in summary this morning, before we go to prayer, would you consider, if you are a man in our assembly, would you consider, is God giving you a desire to lead God's people? Maybe you're a young person and you're still not sure what God wants for your life. Maybe He's going to use you to church like this. We want to help you. We want to help you through that process. God's given us qualities and really qualifications that we should follow in the scripture and be very careful along those lines. And we as a church need to come alongside and we confirm the ability. Some guys should not be in the ministry. And a church should be willing to speak into that and be very clear in a very loving way. And then hopefully provide, even providentially, as God would see fit, an opportunity for this to happen. A person can't be a pastor unless a church calls them. Sometimes people think, well, I'm Pastor so-and-so, and there's no church that they're pastoring. So it's really not a biblical pastor. There's not a church saying, hey, would you be our pastor? So as a church, we need to go through this process and really work towards these ends. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity. I want to end this morning with the 3 pastors just going to prayer for the men of our church. As we look towards the future, we want to ask God to work in our midst, whether it's a young man or maybe an older man, that God would work to solidify a desire to use the gifts that He has given and the church wisdom to know, yes, this is appropriate and this is right. And there's a very clear process we will go through, but we want God to work. We understand from the scripture it is God who does this.